Broadcasting from the city centre.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Good afternoon, another edition of From the Terraces with me, Daniel Baker. Welcome along. Got a lot to talk about between now and 2 o'clock. What a rotten week for Cambridge United. Two away games, two heavy defeats. Scored none, conceded 10. Not looking good for them at the moment. We'll be getting the thoughts of Matt Lockwood shortly and Gary Monk as well. He's got a lot to say. That goes for both of them. So what else have we got in today's show as well? Something a bit lighter, perhaps. Cambridge City came from behind twice to snatch a draw with fellow mid-table side Coventry Sphinx. They went a goal down, equalised, 30-yarder, which would have gone viral on TikTok had it been one of the best players in the world had done that. Good old Jake Battersby, though. Great goal. Well then, Jake. Ed Tassel got the second equaliser in that game. We'll be getting the thoughts of Robbie Nightingale about that game. We'll be chatting about his new signings as well. And the new stadium. Update for you on that as well later in the show. Histon were the only one of our teams to win. They put Diaxley aside 2-1 in the local derby. A great story as well with young Finlay Edwards getting a goal. He's broken into the first team and is doing very, very well. Getting the thoughts of Chris Nunn later in the show. Billy's been having a chat with him. Cambridge United women drew with Seaward in midweek. We'll get the thoughts of Darren Marjoram as well. They've got a plate on the horizon, so it's about getting points on the board between now and that particular game. And Cambridge City women have a crucial game later, a basement battle with Haywards Heath. Could move within a point of safety if they get the result that they want. If you want to be involved in today's show, you can. It's 07919 070 490. We can email studio at cambridge105.co.uk. Daniel Baker in for Tim Armitage today. It's From the Terraces, and I'm with you until 2 o'clock. A lot to talk about, as I say. And of course, we have to start with where we usually begin, and that, of course, is our beloved Cambridge United. So Cambridge United beaten on the road again. Another heavy defeat for them. They lost 4-0 away at Reading. We should hopefully have Matt Lockwood on the line. Matt, are you there?
Hi, Daniel. How are you doing?
You're not too bad, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, thank you.
OK, well, where do you begin? Sum it up for us.
Oh, well, it's been a really horrible week. Incredibly disappointing. You know, the two games have been, you know, shock, embarrassing. And absolutely not good enough for fans, you know, needs to change somewhere if we're going to carry on playing the way that we have been playing. You know, these big heavy defeats are going to become the normal, and we can't afford for that to start happening. And secondly, we've got to try and pick up points from somewhere, and I've got absolutely no idea where the next win's coming from. I've got no idea where the next point might be coming from at this rate. And, it's just not good enough. It really isn't good enough. And the players, the coaching staff, have got to take a long, hard look at themselves right now. We've got, sort of a week and a half break due to international call-ups and things like this. They need to get out on the training grounds. And everybody's got to work a lot, lot harder than what they have been doing because, as I say, if this carries on and these performances carry on, we'll be back in League Two in no time. And we don't want to be there. We want to be back in, you know, staying in League One for next season. But, yeah, it's looking bleaker and bleaker by the week now. And unfortunately, there's no sunshine on the horizon. So must do a lot, lot better. And, it's really hard to really sum up a lot of it at the moment.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because there was problems on the M25 yesterday, which probably meant a lot of Hughes fans couldn't go. And I think the ones that did go probably thought, well, why did I bother? But very disappointing result, to say the very least, really. 4-0. Sam Smith got the opener, actually, former U, I believe. Femi Aziz, Lewis Wing and Kelvin Abitayoman got the fourth one as well, a worldie as well. So that's the Royals' relegation fears. Their off-the-pitch issues have been very well documented as well. Were there any positives, though, Matt? Anything at all that you can sort of hold on to, or is it just all bad?
For the most part, it was all bad. I have to say, Liam Bennett yet again. You know, I thought playing on the right wing in the first half, he did a really decent job. And, you know, as always, you know, tried really hard at right back in the second half. You know, apart from that, really and truly, there weren't too many more. Gassan Ahadmeh coming on towards the end of the game and getting sort of, you know, for a couple of minutes on the pitch, we'll do him in good stead. And, you know, we will definitely need him coming into the end run of games, that's for sure, because he might offer a bit more of an attacking threat than what we have been offering right now. And, I mean, you know, it's not good enough. But it was weird. It was really weird yesterday because, you know, we know Reading aren't a bad side at all. You know, without all the deductions, they'd be a lot, lot higher up in this league. You know, obviously, we hope their off-the-field issues get sorted out very quickly because, you know, no true football fan likes to see a football club struggling, and hopefully they can get them sorted out. But, yeah, on the pitch, you know, they've got a decent squad there, you know, and as I say, their league position is, you know, belied by all the points deductions that they've actually got. And, yeah, you know, we started okay. We didn't start too badly, it has to be said. You know, the first sort of 5-10 minutes wasn't too bad. We had a couple of opportunities with some corners, but nothing really threatening. And then, as you say, Sam Smith, as everybody would have known, every Cambridge fan would have known, was always going to pop up with the first goal, and he did.
Very muted celebration, though, actually, it has to be said, with Sam. He was very respectful, apparently, so I'm told.
He was, he was respectful, and you know, I appreciate that. You know, I still never really rated him when he was here, but you know, fair play to him. You know, he's still got a bit of love for the club, and that's nice to see. But yeah, we all knew he was going to score, but I think, you know, the goalkeeper's got to do a lot, lot better with the chance, really. I think he was far too weak. He should have saved it and held on to it. And then, after the first goal, it really felt like a case of, you know, how many did Reading want? And then, you know, they get the second on the stroke of half-time. You know, I saw the clip of the goal because I was just going down into the concourse. I actually missed it being scored, but I saw it on the TV. And you know, it's another really disappointing goal to concede. Far too easy to get past us again. Being beaten at your near post, you have to point the finger at the goalkeeper again. And, you know, second half, you know, we came out quite strongly. You know, I will give the players some credit. The first sort of 10 minutes they came out, we had three chances in the space of a minute where the ball's got to go in the back of the net. And this is the issue, you know, when we have created those chances, the ball's not gone in. And then, you know, our attacking threat faded really, really badly. And the last two goals, you know, the third one's a really good strike, but we've made it far too easy for him to walk through and have the shot. And then fourth, as you said, Daniel, it's a wonder goal. It's a really great goal. You know, fair play to the lad for having a go. He's picked out the top corner brilliantly. But again, you know, we've just allowed him all the time and the space to have that shot. And, you know, we're not putting any pressure on him at all. And, as I say, after the 6-0 away at Lincoln on Tuesday, it's just really not good enough, and these players need to wake up, and say the coaching staff need to wake up very quickly as well, because, you know, the alarm bells are sounding, you know, quite loudly right now, and you know, we need to get ourselves on the training pitch and start working out on these issues, and, you know, start working a little bit harder now.
Yeah. We're going to hear from Gary Monk and get his thoughts on it, and we'll come back to you, Matt, and get some more thoughts and see what you have to say about his response, because he was he must have been trying very hard not to sort of rip into his players. It's very hard for a manager to bite your tongue sometimes, bearing in mind that you're dealing with the media. But let's get the thoughts of Gary Monk, and then we'll come back to you, Matt.
Gary, tough week on the road, ends with a 4-0 defeat here against Reading. You must be bitterly disappointed.
Yeah, I think we're on the harsh end of the result side of it. I feel today, yeah, it's the first two goals really. It's just poor goals from ourselves. You know, we start the game really well. It just seems every time we gather a bit of momentum, we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot with a really poor goal. So those first two goals, just like, yeah, really poor. When we've got momentum in the game, some good spells in the game. And then at 2-1, we come out after the break. Again, right at them, good momentum, should score a goal. Debatable whether it was over the line or not. You know, on our angle, it does look like that, but that could potentially get us back in the game with some bit of momentum. But it seems like once that doesn't go for us, you know what I mean, they go the other end. And yeah, the last two goals were good finishes from them. But yeah, we just, you know, every time we can't capitalise on any momentum that we have in the game. But as I said before on Tuesday, if you can't capitalise on momentum, what you don't do is give away, you know, poor goals like we did with those first two. That becomes a difficult situation for us, you know, to come back from. Again, the effort and everything like that's there, but just that discipline in those moments, especially on the first two goals, you know, being really clear with the decision that they're making in terms of who goes, who covers and stuff like that. We just make those little individual mistakes, and it's costing us very heavily. It's cost us very heavily in the two games that we've played.
Can you put your finger on why it is that, obviously, certainly this week, it's been so easy to sort of score against them, why it's been so poor defensively?
Yeah, just like I said, it's about individual error, isn't it? Like, you know, it's not, I don't think it's for, whether that's a lack of concentration or just decision making in those moments. It seems like we make one mistake near our box and it leads to a goal. And we compound that with further mistakes. And then when we've got some momentum, when we've got some forward momentum, you know, we haven't capitalised on that. And then it seems like we go straight away to a situation where we make a mistake and it leads to a goal. You know, whereas you see with the opposition that we play, yes, they've made some mistakes, but they're able to regain that, do you know what I mean, and make sure that the second challenge is there or the third challenge is there. It's not just straight to our goal. So, huge disappointment from this week. But we are in a situation where every game matters from this front. And, you know, I still believe that we can do it. I know we can. And the players do. But like anything is, you know, when a goal goes against, a little bit like I suppose in there, when a goal goes against, you can't feel sorry for yourselves. You know, you have to go and grasp it. If that will happen in games, you will get a goal against you. Hopefully it's not as easy as like the first two today and some of the ones on Tuesday, but we have to eradicate that out of our performance for sure. But even though a goal goes in, you can't compound that by then giving away a cheap second one and an easy second one. Do you know what I mean? Give yourself that big mountain. So we're going to have to do some work on the training ground. We're going to have to try and keep the boys' heads up, which we will. As I said before, they're a good group, but we're going to have to work. But I believe results will change, but we're going to have to work very hard for
them. Yeah, it seems like a bit of a negative spiral, and it's about finding a way to break out of that, isn't it?
Yeah, and what we need is just a bit of that momentum go for us. You know, even on Tuesday, we had chances to score goals. You know, today we had some chances. We started really well with some chances, and you had that one there, but it made it 2-1. It's those sort of things that we need to really be clinical with and give, you know, those things give you belief, you know, on the pitch. When those things don't go in, you can quite easily believe, oh, it's one of those days, you know, but it's trying to get out of that mentality, you know, that's what we're trying to work on. And, you know, but you need a result, you need some sort of, you know, momentum to be rewarded, to try and build that mentality and that resilience, which is what we're trying to do on the training ground, but also you need it in the games.
You made a couple of changes in terms of lads' roles out on the pitch. How did you think they got on, the likes of Brophy and Bennett, who were playing in sort of slightly more unfamiliar positions?
Look, I've been really happy with Brophy since I've come in. You know, I think he's a ball carrier. He's also defensively very sound and stuff. And then, yeah, you try and make changes to help the team. You know, obviously, that chance we had to make it 2-1, SK was involved in that, some good play in the play and with Jack. And it led to a really good chance, and even the follow-up, and then the rebound, and the third one to put it in. You know what I mean? That has to go in for us, you know, to give us that extra bit of belief, that extra bit of energy. You're back in the game, and put them under pressure, you know. But those things, especially what we saw today, have not gone for us. And unfortunately, the first two goals, similar to Tuesday night, were just poor goals. They were poor defensive goals. And they have to be eradicated. We have to give ourselves a chance in games.
It's a couple of weeks now until we're back in action. How do you look at that? I guess you could look at it in both ways, but I'm sure you'll obviously try to use it to your advantage.
Yeah, we have to just keep working, you know, trying to keep building the lads up and give them the detail and stuff like that. If we can take out these silly mistakes from the goals, and, you know, we'll be a lot harder to beat in games. So we'll work, you know, we'll work and try and get that across to the lads, keep them motivated and try and keep those spirits for them, which we will do. You know, I said they're a good group, but I don't see that being a problem. But yeah, it's about work and sticking together and making sure that when we come out of that international break, we're ready, we're fresh, and we're ready to go.
And is that message sort of replicated to the supporters? Obviously, there's a bit of discontent at the moment with how things are going.
I can promise them that, like, I know it's not exactly what they're seeing this week, you know, from these two games. It's very hard to see past that. But, you know, the players do care and they are trying. I think the effort is there, but it's just that little bit of decision-making and quality in those moments when we are having an opportunity and decision-making when we're defending. That we need to get right, and that pops. You know, we saw that in my first game at Northampton. We got more of those decisions right, and
what do you want
to
do?
And we were able to compete and be in a really good opportunity for the result, and we ended up with the point. But we haven't done that well enough in these two games, and we need to get back to what we saw on the Saturday and some of the periods they've had already this season. So the ability is there. I said that very clear from the start, and we'll work hard to put it right. I think everyone in that change room wants to put it right, come out of this international break and give our fans some different days to what they're feeling in these last two games.
Cambridge United head coach Gary Monk there. So, Matt, I hope you're still with us.
Yep, still here, Daniel.
Fabulous. OK, got to get your thoughts really on that reaction from Monk. He did say things in the interview about how the players actually do care, the effort is there, the ability is there. Do you agree with him on that, or is he? And naturally, he talks about the quality in that team. Is he again? Is he actually? Is this that lack of quality? Do you believe him when he says that? Actually, you know, there is still a desire. There are still players that can make a difference in these games.
I mean, you know, some of it is a manager. You know, manager talk, and you know, trying to keep the players on side, and so. You know, you're always going to back your players because you are, you know, you are the manager. You don't want to upset the apple cart too much as such. But I mean, the quality in its own right, you know, there is some good players. You know, there are some really good players in this team. You know, there are some, you know, they do have bits of quality that will get us out of this situation. But at the moment, they're not showing it. Now, you know, again, you know, people say about players down in tools and, you know, have they given up, or, you know, has the spirit and fight been taken out of them? I mean, you know, I don't doubt that. I think, you know, the recent results, and again, you know, I've said it before, you know, I think Neil Harris sort of leaving them in the lurch a little bit has definitely had a bit of an effect. You know, going into, you know, Barry's sort of caretaker role, you know, in the games that he had, obviously they were against the bigger and the better clubs, which were not expected to win, but the performances weren't particularly great there either. And then, yeah, since, you know, when Gary Monk comes in, you're hoping for that new manager bounce and, you know, like, can he get something a little bit more out of these players, you know, just to try and get, you know, an extra point or two at least. I mean, we did okay in the first 45 minutes against Northampton, but it was really more like Northampton couldn't be fussed. And, you know, in the second half when Northampton, you know, put the pressure on a little bit, you know, worked the ball a bit harder and, you know, played their own way, we started to struggle. And, you know, we didn't seem to have any answers to deal with them. And then, as I say, you go to Tuesday's game against Lincoln where, yeah, he's not wrong. We did have some chances. You know, do we have to score in those moments? Yeah, of course we do. But it's out of those moments. It's the bit, you know, where you're 1-0 down and you're 2-0 down. Right, what are we trying to do to stop this slide? You know, and it's not, again, it's not just the players, it's the coaching staff as well. And I think everybody has failed in their duty there on Tuesday night. And they certainly failed yesterday as well. And again, he's not wrong. You know, we did start the game brightly, but, you know, it wasn't good enough. We didn't really create anything of note. You know, the two soft goals that we've given away in the first half, which, you know, he says it's individual mistakes and all that. But some of the players out there didn't even look like they knew what they were doing. I mean, you know, he put James Brophy into central midfield and Elias Kachunga was kind of tucked in on the left-hand side. And it just didn't make any sense. I don't think Elias Kachunga did anything in the first half whatsoever, you know, and it was just weird positioning. The players seemed to be in the wrong positions at times, and, you know, one or two of them did try, but in those positions, they just weren't good enough. The setup wasn't right at all. And then the second half, as you know, again, he is right. You know, three chances in a minute, the ball should have gone in the back of the net. did one of them go over the line? I mean, you know, I couldn't tell behind, you know, being, you know, in the stand, I couldn't see whether it had gone behind the line. But you can't bemoan that situation, because at the end of the day, you know, you've got to go out there and you've got to go and get that next goal, which is what, you know, we didn't do. You know, we had one or two other chances, but we were wasteful. And then they've gone up the other end and scored because they've woken up a bit. So, you know, it's tough. You know, do I think that they, you know, they are working hard? Maybe, I don't know. We don't watch them in training every single week. We've only got the managers and the players and the coaching staff's, you know, view on it. And I'm sure that they probably played the best football that we've ever seen in our entire life on the training pitch. But it's no good playing that type of football if you're not bringing it into these games now. And it's the games when you cross that white line that matter. And, you know, there's something really, really wrong. You know, we just seem to lose, you know, everything. You know, the spirit seems to go after. We can see the goal. There's no leader standing up out there. And as I say, the coaching staff have got to do a lot better. You know, Gary's now got this time. If he didn't have a grip on this squad, he's really got to get a grip on this squad. And if he's got to shake them up then and play players that, you know, haven't been playing but are probably chomping at the bit now to show him what he can do, let's get him out there. Because the rest of them, they've had three games and, you know, we've conceded 11 goals in three games. You know, so, you know, they've not done enough. So, you know, let's try something. Let's do something different. Let's shake the apple cart up if we need to. Let's get some of these unfit players back, you know, fit if we can, or as fit as we can, so that they can have an impact in the game. As I say, I think, you know, Ghassan Ahadbe will be one that will play a key part. And, you know, I do think we have missed him since he's been out. And I think he's a better sort of striking partner for Lyle Taylor, where he's not got to do as much sort of hold-up work because Ghassan can do it. But we've got to play the ball in the right way into Ghassan in the first place for Ghassan to be at his most effective. And, you know, that's the worry is, you know, can we do that at the time? So there's a lot to go away and think about, Daniel. And as I say, they've got a week and a half, and this is the biggest week and a half in, you know, in Cambridge United's sort of, you know, most recent history in terms of, you know, if they don't get this right and they don't do the hard work and they haven't been watching, you know, the opposition that we've got coming up, and, you know, they've got two big games over the Easter period, and they're going to be tough ones. They're going to be really, really tough ones, but they need to be ready and firing, ready to go when we play Barnsley on Good Friday, because if they're not, they're going to get absolutely hammered again. And yeah, as I say, yeah, League Two might be beckoning a little bit closer come after the Easter weekend.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll just talk about that actually, the international break coming up, because I think there was a lot of call. Was it the Wickham game that's been moved, doesn't it? Because Wickham have had a few players called up. I think that's right, if I remember correctly. I did want to talk about the attacking side of things actually, because there's fans in the forum saying things like, well, Lyle Taylor's head's gone. He's not, you know, there's a bit of apathy. He started so well, of course, when Neil Harris brought him in. Really, really good. Three from the first four games. And then yesterday, there seems to be a bit of an identity crisis with the attacking options, as you say, really, because Ghassan, obviously, we probably only expected him to make a cameo appearance, given his injury. It's a boost to have him back, as you rightly say. But then Elias Kachunga's an interesting one, because at 2-0 down, there was a double save to deny him. So there was, you know, there perhaps was a moment or two where you thought, actually, yeah, there's, you know, there might be some hope. But attacking-wise, I think from what, you know, from what you're saying and the fans' perspective, is that you were quite blunt, really, up front, really, in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, Lyle's another one of them. I don't think he's one of these type of strikers where, you know, you've either got to play the ball over the top for him to run onto, but, you know, from what I saw yesterday, his legs have kind of gone, whether it's because he hasn't played, you know, a lot of football in recent times. And, you know, we've had to keep putting him out there recently because, you know, we didn't really have anybody else, and they don't seem to trust Macaulay Bond to do the job, which, you know, as I say, limited as he is, you know, he does try very hard. You know, I will give Bond, you know, the credit there as it's due. But yeah, Lyle Taylor just seems to be a striker that needs somebody up there with him to kind of take the focus off him, so that, you know, he can do all the other stuff sort of off the ball and make the type of runs that we need. And, you know, if the focal point is going to be Ghassan Ahadbe, you know, hopefully coming back, then, you know, it's going to be a good thing for everyone. You know, and so for Lyle, you know, we've got to create the chances for him. That's something that we were doing when he came into the into the team. And, you know, that's why he scored them goals, you know, 3 and 4, like you say, because we were creating those chances for him in areas where, you know, he can be effective. You know, since, you know, Neil has left the club, you know, chances have become completely at a premium. As I say, you know, a couple of chances yesterday, which, again, we should have scored with. The Northampton game, you know, we had two chances, you know, the goal from Elias Kachunga, and then he had another chance just before half-time, which he should have scored with. But the second half, we created absolutely nothing. And he looked frustrated and isolated again there. And that's the thing, you know, he gets isolated and he gets frustrated. And if he's not getting anything from the referee, which he didn't, then, yeah, it looks like his head has gone. So, and then the Northampton game, well, nobody came out of that game with any credit whatsoever. And again, we didn't create that much. You know, there's a couple of half chances, but for him, I think he had one header straight at the goalkeeper, but he did what he had to do, you know, just get the ball on target in the right area, and the goalkeeper made a half-decent save. But after that, there was not a lot at all. And say, yesterday, he didn't even get a sniff. You know, he didn't get a chance at all. And as I say, he was just, you know, chasing long, hopeless balls, going sort of absolutely nowhere at times. And, you know, it is hard when you've got to run your legs off and chase, you know, central defenders down, but you're the only one doing it up the top because everybody else is tucked in a bit. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. As I say, you know, will there be another sort of tactical tweak, you know, going to Barnsley? Will Gassan come in and, you know, maybe Lyle will play off him, or, you know, just out sort of drifting out wide or not, we'll see. You know, I think, you know, Gassan being back will be good for us. But again, we've got to give him the right service and we've got to play to his strengths, not the way that, you know, he can't play. And that was one of the big problems under Mark Bonner, is that we didn't really play to Gassan's strengths. And it's one of the things that we did start to do when Neil Harris came in. And again, that's why Gassan became so prolific, you know, because he was getting the chances. Yeah, a few of them were penalties, but we were winning those penalties. So I don't think we've created one since Gassan's been injured. So I can't remember a penalty since he took the last one. And I think it was over the New Year period. So, yeah, it's frustrating. And as I say, we've still got Fajiri Okunibere, you know, who we hope is going to come back and he's going to be a help. But again, we've got to micromanage him because he's been injured for so long. And it's frustrating for him when he was just getting into a position again where he was starting games and, you know, scoring goals. So, yeah, the scoring potential's there. But, yeah, we've got to start creating the chances for him first. And, yeah, we've got to keep him out at the other end. And that's another biggest issue as well, Daniel.
It certainly is, yes, not scoring at one end, conceding two men at the other. Matt, thank you very much indeed for your time. Plenty of food for thought for supporters like yourself and for Gary Monk as well. Thanks again, Matt.
Take care, mate. Bye.
Matt Lockwood there giving his thoughts on Cambridge United. So some big games coming up for them. It's Barnsley on Good Friday, then Wigan on Easter Monday at home. Blackpool, Charlton, Bristol Rovers, Derby, Wickham, and a potential final day relegation decided with Port Vale on April the 27th. You're listening to From the Terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio. It's me, Daniel Baker, in for Tim Armitage. And in a moment, we'll talk all things City.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
So Cambridge City came from behind twice to snatch a draw with fellow mid-table side Coventry Sphinx yesterday. Jake Battersby smashed in an equaliser from outside the box. It was a brilliant goal. And Ed Tassel got the second equaliser on 61 minutes. That leaves the Lily Whites 11 points clear of the drop zone. Good bet to stay up. I think they're probably going to be safe, to be honest. I think Robbie Nightingale feels the same. I had a chat with Robbie before the show and began by asking him what he made of yesterday's 2-2 draw and whether he was happy with the result.
Yes and no. I thought at times yesterday, you know, conceding the first goal to them after, you know, probably 5 minutes, 10 minutes in, you know, it was very disappointing because we actually had started the game very brightly and sort of had one or two moments in their area where probably, I spoke at half-time about, you know, we just need to be a little bit better when we get in those final third areas with the cross, the shot, you know, work the keeper if we're shooting and, you know, try and find an area in the box where we can get people on the end of it. But
you know, credit to the lads. You know, we conceded the penalty. It was a sloppy pass into midfield from Richard Black, and Ed Tassel got dispossessed in the middle of the park, slid it through, and then Richard brings the guy down for a penalty. And it was one of those things where if you're on Astro, where we play most of our games and we train, you know, it's just a punch into midfield. He sets it off and we go again. But because we played on grass yesterday, it was very heavy underfoot. And it's not the type of ball that our centre mids want, certainly sort of 5-6 minutes into the start of the game. So, you know, credit to the boys. They came back into it. And, you know, from then on, we dominated the half. And, you know, great strike from Jake Battersby from the corner that was half cleared, and probably a 30-yard screamer that goes in off the post. And, you know, it was our just deserves. And we should have probably gone in at half-time more than the 1-1 scoreline was, but, you know, we defended a lot better from there on, and then we came out second half, and again, we were, first 10 minutes, we were very dominant, and we had two or three great opportunities to score, and we never really tested the keeper with those. And with our team, because we were a little bit young in certain areas of the pitch, we lose our way at times, and we gift the ball away in sloppy areas, and you know, their second goal was from our sloppy play, and got an overload at the back stick, and Alex has been left with two players to mark, and sadly for him, he's picked the wrong one, and they've picked out the one that he didn't mark. So, you know, but again, we came back into it very strongly, got a great goal, great bit of play down the left-hand side from Jake Battersby, and a great cross in from Steph Broccoli, and Ed Tessel just, you know, ghosted in at the back stick for a tap-in. Great goal for us. And then it sort of gave us that little bit of impetus to go on. And I thought we would kick on. And then again, we lost our way for about 5-10 minutes and let them into it a bit. And it almost became a little bit like a basketball match. You know, they attack, we attack. And it was, we lost a little bit of control. And then last 5 minutes, we've had two glorious chances. A free header for Steph Broccoli from a corner, and then we've had a sort of a one-on-one on the angle, balls flashing and bouncing around in the box, and we just couldn't get the shot away. And then they've had one cleared off the line where, you know, Taylor Pass struck it really well, and either side of the lad, it's a goal, and the lad's just sort of headed it over the bar. So, yeah, it's a tough place to go. It's very heavy, you know, but I thought we played some good stuff at times, and we more than deserve the point. If not, you know, on another day, we take the three. But it's another point to where we want to get to. And I think in terms of the teams below us, that's another point gained on a lot of those because they lost. So, yeah, all in all, it was a positive day. And we've got sort of 10 days now where we can rest up, get a few of the injured boys, those that have got bumps and bruises, back ready for Rushden in a week Tuesday.
I was going to ask you about that, actually, because you've got quite a long gap, and I think it's, what, 10 days or so between the matches. How advantageous will that really be?
Yeah, it'd be good because, you know, we'll be in Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and it gives us an opportunity to, you know, work on certain things that, you know, we feel that we need to be better at. We can work on a lot more of our shape, and we can actually, you know, because there's no game on a Saturday, it just helps us, because we get very limited time on an Astro because other people are using it after us and before us. So it's nice that we have those three sessions this week where, yeah, those that can't train won't, gives them a little bit of a rest, and it just helps us, you know, get certain things sort of nailed down for when we go into a busy sort of, you know, we go Tuesday, Saturday, Monday then, and Saturday. So it's a nice little break before we go into those four very sort of busy games.
In terms of players as well, you were talking about injuries and stuff like that. What's the situation looking like with injuries? And are there any potential irons in the fire for any people to come into the squad to sort of supplement it between now and the end of the season?
No, we've got Will Jones is out trying to play some regular football, a bit more local to him at the moment. So he's somebody that's still with us. In terms of injuries, we've got Tommy Rigby and Ryan Swift making good progress. Neither have played all season, so, you know, if we can get either of those ready for the last month, that'd be massive for us. It'd almost be like two new signings, to be honest. And then we've got, you know, Joe Hood, Mikey Davis, Manny, Dai, Bruce Tsonis. You know, so we've still got lads that are still probably a few more weeks away as well. But those four are probably, you know, the key ones. But like I say, we had three outfield on the bench yesterday. We've got one or two that we've been really impressed with in the 18s that are going to step up this week with us. So they'll be part of the squad. So, you know, in terms of looking to bring anyone in, probably not. You know, if one or two things do appear, and, you know, ones that we've been sort of keeping on, sort of decide that they do want to change, it's just really difficult this time of season, because people tend to just, because there's only 6 weeks left, people tend to sit the rest of that out and just sort of, you know, finish season where they are and then talk in the summer. So, like I say, we're very pleased. We've got cover in most areas. Like I say, we're hopeful that one or two will be back for Rushden. If they're not, hopefully they'll be able to take part in one of the two games over the Easter Bank holiday weekend. So, yeah, it's been a very tough, you know, we're losing crucial players, big players at crucial times when we've needed them. And it doesn't matter whether you're top of the league or bottom of the league, those big players do affect your team. Certainly at, you know, certainly step three, four, five levels, you know, you miss your best players and the team's affected. So, you know, it's just a matter of trying to get, you know, Joe Welsh didn't play yesterday as well. That's another one that, you know, big player for us. You know, he's hurt his knee last Saturday, so he didn't play yesterday. Casper came in and did very well, to be fair. So, you know, it's one of those where we just want to try and get as many people fit for that little run in, and hopefully we can finish with a bit of a flurry of victories and move us a little bit more comfortably into that mid-table mark.
Broadcasting from the city centre.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio. From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Robbie Nightingale chatting to me earlier on today. Now it's time to rejoin him, and he begins by this part two of our interview by talking about his recent transfer business and coming up as well. There's a major update on the Sawston Stadium project. Here we go.
Johnny, we know very well. He's been with us a couple of times over the last sort of two or three years. Hasn't played an awful lot of football this season due to injury. And, you know, when I knew he was fit and ready to play again, it was come in. We know the quality he possesses. He can play left back, centre midfield. He's got calmness. He's got good range of passing. He's, you know, his set piece delivery is like on the money. So having him available and you know, losing Scott Bridges around the Christmas time, you know, we haven't replaced that sort of experience. And just somebody that does everything right. He looks after himself. He, you know, he's 34. He wants to continue playing for as long as he can, and he keeps himself very fit. And he's the types of player that, you know, you need within a young group. You know, we've got Taylor Park at the back now. We've got Johnny in midfield. You know, we've got good experience in the spine with Joe in goal as well. You know, so it's the ingredients are there. We just need to, you know, there's one or two areas of the pitch that we need to be better at. And scoring goals has been a bit of a problem this season. But, you know, everybody's looking for that number nine that scores 20, 25 a season. And, you know, we're no different. We're still looking for that. But Ryan Ingrie, you know, at the moment, he's doing really well. He's bringing the players into play, creates chances for others, and he's popping up with the odd goal here and there. So, you know, he's been doing all right. In terms of Pharrell, he's been somebody that, you know, we've liked the look of for a long time. He's been at Rushden, and then he left and went and played for Ainsbury. And so he's very quick, he's very direct, he crosses a very good ball, and he's somebody that, you know, when you, certainly at the moment, you know, when you're sort of 70 minutes in and you've got him to throw on, because he hasn't played an awful lot lately, it's a big bonus. You know, he travels with the ball, he's, you know, he's very young at the moment, he's only 19, but, you know, he's got good attributes that we feel that, you know, we can unlock those potential attributes that he has, he'll be a massive player for us, certainly the last sort of 6 weeks and moving forward into next season.
I want to ask you about the Rushden game as well, actually. That's just over a week away. What kind of a game are you expecting from them? And actually, from their point of view, survival's now looking like a realistic prospect because they've been on such an incredible run and they're, what, 3 points from safety now?
Yeah, they've, you know, up until yesterday, they were the form team in the league. You know, they're fighting for their lives. And it's, you know, we expect a very, very tough game. You know, we've had them watch the last two games. They've got good shape when they haven't got the ball. They're very hard to break down. And I think, you know, it will be, the pitch is a bit of a leveller, you know, I'm told. So, yeah, it's one of those where we just need to turn up. We need to respect them and respect the run that they're on. And we need to also, you know, worry about what we do. And if we do what we can do, and in patches yesterday and the week before against Anstey, we can just put all those little bits together a bit longer through the game and see games out a bit better and, you know, take the chances when we're on top. And, you know, we should hopefully come away with a positive result. But, you know, like I say, they're a team that are on certainly on the up. You know, the last month, I think they've won five out of the seven games they've played, and that's given them a real fighting chance of getting out of relegation trouble. You know, because of our results win yesterday, we've stepped up a place and we've got a point further away from that. You know, we've got seven games to play. So, you know, we know that they're going to need to win four, five games out of their sort of seven and eight. And, you know, all three teams down there have got to do that. So, you know, as much as I feel that we are safe, you're never safe until you're mathematically safe. And, you know, I look at the games that we have at home, certainly, you know, teams that have sort of dropped off it a little bit. They're the sort of games, you know, that we're going to be looking to capitalise on and make sure that we're, you know, we go into that last few weeks of the season not having to worry about things that are going on behind us and worry about what we're doing. And that's all we've ever done. You know, we found ourselves in a position where we've not wanted to be all year, but due to certain things that we can't control, like injuries and unavailability, it's found us sort of languishing in that bottom half more than what we've liked. And so, you know, we're really keen to finish these last seven games with a bit of a flurry. You know, it's yesterday's points, a point gained. We've got a nice break now, and then we come up with four, you know, very good games that, you know, hopefully we can try and get some good points from and go into that last month looking forward rather than behind. So that's, you know, I say they do come nice and quick, but they do get tougher as they come. So, you know, if we're not on our game and other teams are, then, you know, the league's so tough. You know, if you don't turn up with the right attitude and game plan, then you will come unstuck.
And just finally, Robbie, I want to ask you about the stadium situation, because a few weeks ago you were saying that it's unlikely that you'd be in before the end of this campaign. Has anything changed in that time?
Yeah, like we've there's a bit of update on that. I think there's real hope now that we can, you know, the building work's going to start April, end of April time. So it's just a question of, you know, how quickly we can get that internal refit done, and can we get the main areas, i.e. changing rooms and, you know, bar area done as quickly as we can so that we can be in there in August. And I think, you know, that could be a realistic plan. I know everybody behind the scenes at board level and the people that are running the job, you know, they're very, very keen to get us in there, you know, for August. And, you know, hopefully, but I say over the last few years, we've been so very close, and it is, you know, I'm glad to say that it's ever closer now. And it's, you know, we train at the facility and you go in every time, there's stuff being done all the time. You know, the ground itself, everything's done. It's just the internal stuff that needs to be done. So, you know, it's, you know, we're looking very much like the next few months we'll be in there, and that'll be a massive boost you know, everybody connected with the football club, you know, not just the first team, but, you know, the ladies set up, the youth set up, you know, it'll be huge and it'll be a massive recruiting tool for everybody involved. And also generating income that, you know, at the moment we lose a lot of money each month before we've even done anything because of where we're renting and we're not getting any sort of income from any games. And we have to pay to play everywhere. And, you know, so we're on a loss before we even start. And to actually go into a home and, you know, be on a level playing field with everybody else where that everything we earn is ours and we haven't got to pay it out to here, there and everywhere. And I think, you know, that will be massive in itself, you know, to be able to generate your own income. And that's the start of, you know, the sort of new sort of way forward for this football club. It then becomes a big football club. You know, everybody playing in the same area, on the same venue, instead of everyone playing here, there and everywhere. It creates a bigger club and, you know, hopefully the club will thrive from it and it will go on to much bigger and better things through the years.
So some good news there on the stadium at Sawston. We've still got about 12 minutes of the show left, so now it's time to talk Histon.
When we come back, we'll be talking all things Histon.
Out in the country, far from all the subtle noise of the city, there's a village green. It's been a long time since I last set eyes on the church with the steeple down by the village green.
So yes, we're talking all things Histon now. They are now unbeaten in six. They've now won four on the spin. They beat Yaxley 2-1 yesterday in the local derby. And earlier on, Billy caught up with manager Chris Nunn. Nunn is a Cheltenham Festival enthusiast and his side were certainly at the races.
So Chris, people won't be able to see, but you are dressed for the occasion today. You have your Histon attire on. How happy are you with the win yesterday?
Delighted. Absolutely delighted. I think it shows how far we've come at half time. We were winning 2-1 and I was disappointed it was only 2-1. I thought first half, I thought we were outstanding. I thought we were very good, probably the best half I've had since I've been at the club. We scored goals, we created chances, we limited them to very few opportunities at all. And I just thought it was a brilliant half of football, you know, and I just thought it was very good, you know, and against a team, obviously, that was still trying to get in the playoffs away from home, just one team of the month. It was almost, the first half was probably as good as it gets, really.
And Finlay Edwards got the goals for you. How impressed were you with his performance and did any other performances impress you?
Well, firstly, you know, I'm a great believer in there's no I in team. However, young Finn, that was his first start in senior football and, you know, with the first team. And his goal was outstanding. His pace frightened them at every opportunity. He probably wasn't fully fit as it was, but I think the opportunity and the adrenaline sort of kicked in. So it's always good to see. You know, I think we had four lads from the 18s in the squad yesterday. And I just felt he was just a real constant thorn in the side. But the thing I liked about him was he'd done it both ways. You know, he's an attacker, but he did do it both ways. And that's important, you know, because I do say to boys in the final third, you know, that's where you've got to deliver the goods. But if you're not doing it, going in the opposite direction, then, you know, you're not helping the team. And that's got to be, you know, almost like your base point. So he was excellent. But it was really a very good team performance, you know, and I can pick out Finn because it was his first start, but to pick out anyone else would be really hard because, like I said, I don't think we had a weak link yesterday, and that says a lot about the boys.
Was it always part of the plan to, at this point of the season, bring in and maybe incorporate some of the younger lads, or is that just because of where you are in the league table that you feel like more comfortable to maybe give them a chance?
I think it's probably a combination of both. You know, I think if we were maybe 15 points less, then you'd probably be inclined to maybe look for a bit of experience. But we're on a really good run at the moment. We're in a really good place. And part of that is because of the young lads coming in, you know, because they always say that, like, sometimes a bad egg can influence the dressing room and influence clubs. No one really talks about it the other way around, you know. So when you've got young lads who are full of energy, taking on board everything that you're saying, then that is, for me as a manager, that's a great place to be, and buying into everything that we're saying. And to be fair to Matt, who runs the reserves, and Alfie, who does the 18s, they're doing things correctly as well. I think there was five in the reserves yesterday from the 18s and four with the first team, and we both won. So we're not doing it just as a publicity stunt, and we've been, you know, beaten 3-0 in both games. It's actually, it shows there's a pathway there. And sometimes, the one thing with myself over the years, I've always gone with youth, because I always feel that they are willing to learn, they are willing to, that you want to progress. And as a manager, I have no greater joy than seeing lads make it in the pro game. For me, you've helped change someone's life. And for me, that's massive. And it's a big thing. It's a big compliment to me as a manager, but also it can be a big compliment to the club. So from where we are at the moment, in terms, to answer your question, I think it's a bit of both, but I'm never afraid to play young lads. You know, I'll always give them an opportunity. And I'd rather be a manager that doesn't succeed through picking youth than a manager who doesn't succeed by picking been there, done it journeymen.
And that's got to be a great vote for confidence for the young lads to think that you can actually, they can make it in the pro game and they've got that potential and ability. But looking at the league table now, it looks a lot more healthy than it did when you first arrived. You've now pretty much established that comfortable mid-table position. What would you say is your target now, between now and the end of the season?
Funny enough, my management team and I, we spoke about this yesterday in terms of setting targets, and we are gonna do that with the lads. I think I've always talked about, in terms of the environment I want to create and the culture we want to create, and we're doing that. But I still think myself, you know, I think we've got 38 points. We've got seven games left. You know, I'd like to think, can we get to 50 points? You know, that would be a good target to aim for, 50 points. Can we try and, which is really hard what I'm about to say, could we get our goal difference in a positive instead of a negative? I think that's going to be a bit tough where we are at the moment, if I'm being honest. I think it's minus 14.
Yeah.
Minus 14. That's going to be hard to do. But the 50 points is something. But like I said, you know, we want to try and continue to, you know, use some of the young lads that we've got. We want to try and continue to create the environment that we want to have. And we just want to make it a good place to come and play football. But not only that, we want to make it a good place for supporters to come and watch. You know, I always think, as, you know, as supporters of local people, there's nothing better than seeing young lads from your 18s and from the reserves break through into the first team. I think that's something that we want to try and do. At the same time, what I would say to lads that are in the reserves and the 18s, you know, you've got to work hard for them before you get that opportunity. And that's what we've got to try and breed through, not just in the first team, but in the reserves and the 18s, that opportunity. And even then, when you go beyond the 18s, you know, you look at the 16s and say to them, look, you know, you're only a year or two away from getting this opportunity. And that's when you can get, I think, then you can attract, of that age group, you might be able to attract better players going forward, knowing there is that opportunity there. So, yeah, so in terms of your target, obviously we want to try and be successful and win as many games as we can, but not coming away from what we want to try and be going forward.
Chris Nunn there speaking to Billy, and we've just about got time to go through the women's football. Cambridge City have a crucial basement battle with Haywards Heath later on, win, and they could move within a point of safety. And now it's time to get the thoughts of U's women's manager Darren Marjoram. Tim caught up with him after the draw with Seaward in midweek.
Thursday night under lights, it was an interesting game, very well matched sides, both of them improved over the season, and I guess you must be a little bit disappointed about the result though.
Yeah. Once you get ahead, you think in a game that's that even, that probably, you know, you'll be able to see it out maybe, but overall it was a fairly even game, like you say. So if I'm honest, I think both sides, we obviously was very excited about the fact that we might get a win once we're 1-0 ahead, but I think both sides will look back at it and go, you know, a draw probably looked about right on the balance of it. Seaward had chances late in the game where they could have won the game, and I'd have felt really disappointed with that if we'd have gone and lost the game, because we certainly weren't overrun by them. And likewise probably for them. So yeah, it's an even game, but look, we're a fairly patched up side at the moment, and to see us scrap and fight for every point that we can get like that is all I can ask for. So I'm really proud of the players tonight despite the result.
Darren Marjoram there talking after the 1-1 draw with Seaward. Ruth Fox had put the Ewes ahead in that game, but a late equaliser meant that they only got a point. But they are next in action a week today, in fact, against Ashford Town. That is at St Neots, and that's in the league as well. Then it's Worthing the weekend after Norwich and Cambridge City in a big derby game, and then they're playing in the Shield as well. Also the Plate, I should say, in April, that particular final coming up there to look forward to for Darren Marjoram. So that's nearly all we've got time for. Just to quickly run you through the schedule for the rest of the day. Strummers and Dreamers follows us between 2 and 6. Les Ray is in the hot seat for that one. Jazz Today follows between 4 and 5 with Pete Butchers. Polish Waves follows between 5 and 6. The Cambridge Film Show is back between 6 and 7. Amy Gray returns with her music from the 90s and 2000s. That's 7 until 8. The Scar and B Show on 8 until 9. Cambridge Band Competition 9 till 10. Stagger 10 till 11. And Opus 105 rounds off the day with Sara Woosam with an hour of your favourite classics and music from the movies. And don't forget to tune in to Cambridge Breakfast with Julian in the morning. He's on from 7 o'clock. That's all we've got time for. Thanks for joining us today on From the Terraces. I've been Daniel Baker. Tim will be back in the hot seat next week. Have a good rest of your Sunday. Take care. Bye for now.